Get your thoughts for a few moments on the subject of believers' baptism. We've been impressed by the number of younger believers at the assembly, at the conference, and we trust that this will be of interest to you. Let's read from the Gospel of Matthew, please, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And brethren, I do intend to be brief, so you don't believe in Irishmen. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. Amen. Now over to the book of Acts, please, chapter 8. Story of the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And finally, from the book of Romans, chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, and we'll read it verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now God will bless to us the reading from his word. It is a wonderful thing to reflect upon that first moment when our souls discovered there was one who took our place upon the cross and died in our stead. And the fact that he bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. He has taken our sins. They were laid upon him, and so completely has he satisfied the justice of God that God has declared their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more forever. And so we thank God today for salvation. We thank God for the fact that he died for us upon the cross, and the question of our sins will never again be raised before God. Now, I was a little ways along the road after I was saved before I discovered another truth. And that was that not only had the Lord Jesus died for me, but also that I had died with him. I want you to think with me today about the meaning of baptism. We'll also look at its manner, and we'll think a little about its mandate. Essentially, believer's baptism is symbolic. It is symbolic. It symbolizes something that has already taken place. We could perhaps summarize our thoughts in this way. The meaning of baptism is, number one, a burial, a symbolic burial. And number two, it's a new beginning, a symbolic new beginning. I'm sure each of us have been somewhat shocked as we have looked upon those images coming out of the southern states of people who have tragically died and their bodies have been laying in the streets, sitting in wheelchairs, floating in the water, unburied. It's one thing to see those images come back from the Far East, from Afghanistan or from Iraq, but it's another thing to see those images from a U.S. city. Shocking. A body that hasn't been buried. There's something dishonorable about it. When we come to think about the meaning of baptism, it's well to remember that someone has died and should be buried. And thank God for this. In God's reckoning, the moment that you and I were saved, in God's reckoning, we died. Now, the work was accomplished at Calvary. But so closely was the Lord Jesus on that cross as your representative and mine, representing man before God, that when he died, God was finished with what humanity could produce in the flesh. So that God isn't looking for anything from our flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, God was finished with all that you and I are in Adam. So that we do not stand before God today any longer in God's view in Adam. We stand in Christ. God is finished with what we were by nature. A death has taken place, and every believer has died to all that we were in Adam. Now, when we think of some of the expressions that are used to describe our condition before we were saved, we were children of the flesh and not the children of God. And God is not looking upon us anymore as children of the flesh. Rather, he looks upon us as children of God. What brought the change? The change took place at Calvary. We are looked upon as children of disobedience before we are saved. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6. But then later on we read about Peter and he describes the believer as children or a child of obedience. So again, conversion has brought a tremendous change. Once we were marked by disobedience before God, but now characteristically, the believer is a child of obedience. He's a child in God's family. And he bears the hallmarks, he bears the characteristics of children in God's family. They are marked by obedience. A change took place in conversion. Ephesians chapter 2 describes us as children of wrath, even as the rest, before we were saved. But now, as a child in God's family, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And we are linked with another now, and we have a different standing before God. So God's thoughts are these, that he has put an end to all that I am before God. In my sins, in Adam, in my flesh, in my disobedience, in my deserved wrath, God is finished with all of that. The Lord Jesus on the cross cried, "It is finished." I've died with Christ. And furthermore, Romans chapter 6 is teaching us that we have been buried with him. And we've been raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 5, we are made alive unto God. So that when Christ died on the cross, when he was buried, when he was raised again, God looked upon you and I as identified with him in that tremendous work. When he died for our sins, but he died to sin. He died to all that we were in the flesh. But now that he's alive again, he's alive unto God. And that's where he has brought us. as believers in Him, we are alive unto God. We enjoy a new kind of life. It's called everlasting life. Took place the moment that we were saved, the moment that we were born again. We were brought into God's family and given a new kind of life. And all of that took place at the moment of conversion. Now notice what we've read from Romans 6 and 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That is water baptism. Because notice what follows. That like as. So there's the symbolic thought coming in. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So what is the meaning of baptism? It's a burial. It symbolizes the burial of one who has died spiritually with Christ. And he's been raised again to walk in newness of life at conversion. And now in my baptism, I'm making it known that the old me is dead, that I'm now alive unto God and walk in newness of life. So baptism then, the burial in the water, they've been raised up again. It's all symbolic of what took place at the moment of conversion. So not only a burial, then a new beginning. You see, in the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it changes everything. For the first time, there is human life that can never die. Human life that can never die. And that is the truth upon which everlasting life is based. That we are linked with one who lives in the power of an indissoluble life. And he brings to us that gift of life. Brings us into the enjoyment of eternal life that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. It brings with it new desires. It brings with it new likes and dislikes. It brings with it a new behavior. It brings with it a new destiny. You and I, if we're living in communion with Him, we are living in the enjoyment of that life. And our souls are being renewed day by day. And as we commune with Him, that relationship with God is strengthened. Our enjoyment of His presence is strengthened and it is enhanced. And we take on a little more of His character, a little more of Christ-likeness in our walk. That begun at conversion. It's God's mind that it should continue. That there should be forward progress in the things of God. Right through to the end of the road. And we make that statement as well in our baptism. That we've been raised again to walk in a new kind of way in newness of life. And enjoy fellowship with the living God. We're children of the living God. We're dear children to Him. We should be marked by obedience as obedient children and are now the children of light, bearing testimony to a world at large that we have been linked with Christ in His death and in His resurrection. So burial and beginning, the symbolic meaning of baptism. But one, just a word on its manner. I think we get that set out very clearly in chapter 8 of Acts, don't we? This man, the Ethiopian eunuch, has been saved in the chariot. Peter's preached unto him, Isaiah 53. The man has grasped the truth of it, that he was wounded for my transgression. And he has entered into the good of it, that the work of Christ on the cross has satisfied God. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Must have also told him about baptism. What I like about the story is this, he didn't hesitate. He wanted to obey the Lord right now. And so they come across some water in the desert and he says, here's some water, why don't I get baptized? I want you to notice it wasn't just a little puddle. And Philip didn't sprinkle. Because if he did, all he had to do was go to the water himself and get some water and bring the water to the eunuch and sprinkle him with the water. But it says that they went down, both of them, into the water, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, so they went down into the water together, he was baptized, and then they come up out of the water. The very language itself suggests to us that it was baptism by immersion. And the word itself bears out that truth, doesn't it? Baptizo. It's been used in the classical writings for the dyeing of a garment. And you know, whenever you dye a garment, you don't just sprinkle some dye upon it, unless you're looking for some fancy designs, but you'll take that garment and you'll submerge the garment right into the dye, and then when it has been totally saturated in the dye, you bring it out, and the garment is dyed. That's the word that's used. To be baptized. And so baptism has the thought of immersion, being placed into water. And you can see how accurately that portrays the meaning of baptism. That God is totally finished with what we were before we were saved. And now God is looking at us totally in a different light in Christ. And so it's like someone that's put out of sight in the water and then they're brought up again. And the symbolic significance of that is pulled out in the manner of baptism by immersion. And then finally, maybe this is going back to front here, but nevertheless, back in Matthew chapter 28, we have the mandate. The Lord Jesus is now on resurrection ground. And he's giving a commission to his disciples that will stand good right through to the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What was the commission? It was this. Told them to go into all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus himself gives the authority and gives the command for people to be baptized right through to the end of the age. Do you belong to Christ today? You do. That's great. Have you been baptized? The Lord Jesus commands it. He expects it from you. The significance of its meaning is beautiful to think about, to enter into it, to enjoy in your soul. Come to the book of Acts, you get that pattern. Time and time again, they believed they were baptized. They believed they were baptized right through the book of Acts. They believed they were baptized. It's God's mind still. It's his will for your life that you would be a baptized believer. See? Publicly linked in that symbolic way with the one who died for you upon the cross of Calvary. Put away your sins. Put away all that you are in your sins before God. And brought you through into newness of life. May God bless His word.